to bring this message into your daily life. As I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah accept these efforts of mine in delivering this message, in saying what is haq, what is right in this day and age of fitna, when it is so easy to slip and sell one's soul. Indeed, I thank you because you have made a great sacrifice. You, at this moment in time, may not realize the value of the good that you are doing. You may not realize the value of these seconds that are being spent here in the house of the Almighty Allah. Angel, I swear by the Almighty Allah, a day will come, يَوْمَ يَسْرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. In which your own mother who gave you birth, that has the same blood in her veins, will run away from you. Your father will run away from you. Your own wife and your own children will run away from you. And on that day, when you will beg, as you've never begged before, and will never beg like this ever again, when you will beg for one deed, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِنْكُ الْأَرْضِ سَهْرٌ وَلَوْ اسْتَدَى بِهِ. You will beg for one deed, and you will beg like never before, and you will never have begged like this before this. To the extent that if you offered an earth full of gold to somebody for one little deed, hasana, he will not give you it. He will not give you it for even $1 billion. You know, on that day when you are suffering, that is the day you will realize the value of this sacrifice. Of this day in September, Sunday evening, you will remember me, inshallah, and you will remember this gathering. And when you see what the Lord of the Earth and Kursi gives you on that day for sitting in the house of Allah for just 1 hour on a Sunday evening in September 2006, you know, on that day you will regret that only had we spent our entire life in the house of Allah for not just 1 hour. Do you think you came here on your own accord? Because you wanted to come. Where are all your Muslim books from? I'm sure there are more than what I see before me. I'm sure many others knew of this lecture today. That there will be a reminder. Where are they? Nobody has the power to do good. And nobody has the power to refrain from evil without the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You haven't come on your because you wanted to come. You have come because the Almighty Allah has brought you inside His house. And Allah has brought you because Allah has something up there for you. Because the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi loves you, and this is the reason that Allah has brought you in here today. Let me give you an example. Many a time, and I'm not saying this, There will be people that knock on your door. Many a time. But these people in your eyes will have no value. You just can't be asked to open the door. It's as simple as this. They have no connection with you. No friendship, no blood connection. And you won't even go as far as opening the door. They will knock and they will go. Some people will come to your house and knock on the door. Again, in your eyes, this is a value that they hold. That you will send one of your children to the door to say that father is not inside the house. And you will send them packing at the door. Some people are so dear to you that you yourself will go to the door. But still, there's a distance. You will speak to them at the door, you will fulfill their needs at the door, and then you will say assalamu alaikum and send them back. Some people are so dear to you. Now, they are the ones for whom you will go yourself and you will invite inside your house. And not only will you invite them inside your house, you will go a step further. And you will send them to the best room in your house. This front room. And you will set them there. And your ox blood, Chesterfield sofa, leather, you will make them sit on these sofas. And everything that you have inside your house, the fruit, the drink, you have to wife to cook for them. And this is how you will entertain them. Why? Because in your heart, they have some value. You love them. And this is how you show your love and your respect for these people. Your standing here in this gathering, in my eyes, is no different. Many a Muslim lives in slough. But look at them. Majority of them, they did not even make it to that door. Majority of them did not even make it to the door. Whose door? Allah's door. They didn't even make it to his house. Some, they made it to his door and decided they have better things to do, and they returned. Not of their own doing. He just didn't allow them in. Some of them, they even came inside. But they received no entertainment. They read their obligation and they left. How special do you think you are in the eyes of Allah? But not only did He allow you in, He is now entertaining you. You and I, we entertain our guests with the best of fruits. The best dishes, the best drinks. And when Allah entertains His servants, He does with the best of reminders. His words and the words of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how special you are, and you never forget this. And this entertainment that Allah is giving you is so blessed. That the hadith which Imam al-Bukhari has related in his Sahih, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, comes to mind. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَلَائِكَ يَتُوفُونَ فِي الطُّرُقِ يَجَلِسُونَ أَحْلَ الذِّكَرِ. For Allah has created, Allah has created the human kind, Allah has created the jinn kind, and Allah has created the angel kind from life. And this creation of Allah, the angels, لَا يَعْتُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرْهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Allah describes them in such a manner that they are such a creation that they do not disobey the Almighty Allah, they do as Allah has ordered them. And they outnumber the human kind and jinn kind by millions. Millions and millions of times, the angel kind are more than the human kind and jinn kind put together. And they have different responsibilities. Some of them, from the day they were created, to this day, they are in prostration. They will remain in prostration right till the day of judgment. Some of them, from the day they were created, they are in ruku. At this point in time, as I address you, they are in ruku. And they will remain like this right till the day of judgment. Some of them glorify the Almighty Allah with their tasbih, subhanAllah. Some with Alhamdulillah. Some with Allahu Akbar. Different responsibilities they have. Jibreel Amin was a trustworthy one. He would bring the commands of Allah to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Some of them have the responsibility of taking the soul. One group that is mentioned in this hadith, their responsibility is, their job is that they will go around the dunya, this world, and they will roam around the streets looking for people that remember the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their only job is to go and look for gatherings like this. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَفَإِذَا وَجَدُوا قَوْمًا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ تَنَادَوْا حَلُمُّوا إِلَى حَاضِرِكُمْ. When they come across a gathering like this, the angel that sees believers like this in this gathering, the first angel shouts out and calls the others, يَهُمُّوا إِلَى حَاضِرِكُمْ حَلُمُّوا إِلَى حَاضِرِكُمْ. The people that you are looking for are sitting inside the Jami Masjid of Slab. And as soon as this angel finishes, all the others that were in this group, they come inside the masjid, and as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they surround these blessed people, and they surround this blessed gathering. And at this moment in time, in spite of the fact that you may not be able to see this with your eyes, if our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said this, then this is far greater than if we were able to see them with our eyes and in our heart. And they are here at this moment in time, in this gathering, surrounding this gathering, the Muslims of Islam. And they place their wings in such a manner, one on top of the other, till they reach the first heaven. فَيَسْأَلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ مَا يَقُولُ عِبَادِيهِ. How special do you think that you are in the eyes of Allah? That our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the angel reaches the first heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَيَسْأَلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. If you ponder over these beautiful words of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is enough to drive you insane. Our love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَيَسْأَلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Who are you? You know, when you compare, you and I compare ourselves with the Lord of the earth and the sea. Who are we? We are nothing. Just is the word that we use on the street. We are insignificant. The Lord of the earth and the sea, this universe that is created, the angels of Allah, some of them, their heads are in the seventh heaven and their feet are in the lowest earth. And we are billions and billions. The human mind cannot even comprehend the size of the sun, never mind the entire universe. Where are you and I in comparison to the Lord of the earth and kursi? We are nothing. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. If he wanted, every human being and jinn that he's ever created, right from the beginning of time till the end of time, if he wanted to wipe them within a billion, Never mind a billion. Within a zillionth of a second, he would wipe them and it would not make a difference for him. This is who he is. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The Lord of not the world, the Lord of the world. And you must be so special to him. Yet in spite of the fact that when we make this comparison to the Lord of the earth and the sea, that you and I are insignificant. You are so special. كَفَيَسْأَلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. That the Lord of the earth and foresee takes an interest in you. You. How big of a blessing do you think this is? You know, if I was to tell you here and now that this gathering here, all those that have gathered in this Dali Masjid tonight, in Islam, Queen Elizabeth, our Queen, is talking about you in Buckingham Palace. Tell me, how would you feel? You know, inside your heart, you'll feel chuffed, proud, happy. You'll be crying of our laughter. And you know, every time you go to your friends and your relations in different cities and towns, you'll have one upon them. And in your gatherings, you would mention, do you know who we are? We're the same guys who the Queen of England talks about. Isn't that a fact? This is no queen. This is no king. He is everything. And everything else is nothing. The Lord of the earth and good things is taking an interest in you. And you know what? You tell everyone on planet Earth how special you are. That not the Queen, Allah talks about you. Allah. And you know who he talks to? Not some joy on the street or some minister. He talks to you, to the Nurani Makhluk, to his angels. And he asks, in spite of us, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. He knows everything. He knows what happened yesterday, he knows what is happening now, he will know what is happening tomorrow. He can see this gathering. He knows everyone that is participating in this gathering. But in spite of this, فَيَسْأَلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ وَأَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ. In spite of knowing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, بِمَا يَقُولُ لِبَالِي, what are my servants saying? And again, if you ponder on these beautiful words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will agree with me, there is no blessing bigger than this. Look at what the Almighty Allah says. Allah says, مَا يَقُولُ عِبَادِي. Allah does not say, مَا يَقُولُ الْعِبَادِ. Allah, if you wish, could have said, what are the servants saying? No. Allah says, مَا يَقُولُ عِبَادِي. What are my servants? Allah acknowledges that you belong to Him. There is no blessing bigger than this. I'm telling you. Let me explain this to you. Let me explain this to you with something that you will be able to relate to. His car. When I say to you, his car, what does that mean to you? So what? It's His. Inside you feel nothing. When I say to you, my car, all of a sudden you feel something inside. It's yours. When I say the word my car, what will you do for my car and what will you do for his car? His car, you won't even look at it. You know, yours, even if it's a banger. And when we were kids, we used to have these Datsuns. You know, you will get up on a Sunday morning and you will stop. And you will promise. Why? Because it's mine. Yeah? You sweat it out of it. You put pounds over time. It's mine. Because it's connected with me, it becomes special. It becomes something different. His children. Again, it means nothing. You may show some affection and love because they are human beings. But you know, when it comes to my children, when it comes to my own son and my own daughter, soot is the connection, because it's mine. I will give my life for my own kids. And I will do anything for my own kids. Now look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Yes, they are not servants. Allah says, مَا يَقُولُ عِبَادِي, they are my servants. What are my servants saying? Allah is acknowledging that you are His. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this, and if you and I are prepared to do anything for something that belongs to us, then what do you think the أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ بِأَكْرَمُ الْأَكْرَمِينَ, the one is the most merciful out of all the merciful, what do you think the Lord of the earth and Kursi is prepared to do for you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He asked this question, the angels replied, Ya Allah, yusabbihuna wa yukabbiruna wa yumajjiduna. Ya Allah, they are sitting there, they are glorifying You, they are praising You, they are exalting You, they are saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and Allah is the greatest, and Allah is the greatest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels, Hal ra'awni, are these people that sit there in the Jannah Masjid al-Salaam, they are glorifying Me, they are praising Me, are they exalting Me, but do they really know who I am? Have they ever seen Me? Do they truly know of My glory and of My power, or of My supremeness? And the angels replied in one verse, Ya Allah, ma ra'uta, they have never seen You. Allah, they truly don't know. And Allah asked, what if they were to see Me, even if it was for a zillionth of a second, what would become of them people? What if they were to truly know what My real power is? What would become of them? And the angels replied, يَلَا وَأَوْكَ كَانُوا أَشَدَّ لَكَ عِبَادَةً وَأَكْثَرَ لَكَ تَمْجِيدًا وَأَكْثَرَ لَكَ تَمْجِيدًا. Oh Allah, if they truly knew You, and if they ever saw You, even if it were for a zillionth of a second, then they would spend their entire lives glorifying You, praising You, exalting You. The only words that would flow from their lips would be, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, indeed Allah is the greatest. They would be mesmerized. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asked the second question, مَا يَسْأَلُونَ, what have they come for? What's the aim and objective? Why are they gathered in that masjid? What are they asking for? And the angels that like you, Allah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ الْجَنَّةِ, they're asking You for this thing called paradise, this thing called Jannah. And Allah again asked the same question, have these guys ever seen paradise? Have they ever seen the لَبِنَةُ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَلَبِنَةُ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ وَمَلَاتُهَا الْمِسْكُ وَالْأَصْفَرُ وَحَشَاؤُهَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْيَاقُوتُ وَتُرْبَتُهَا الزَّعْفَرَانُ. Have they ever seen the brick of gold and silver paradise made out of brick of gold? And then there's a brick of silver, and then there's a brick of gold, and then there's a brick of silver. Now these bricks of gold and silver are joined together with not your sand and cement. It is a mixture made out of rubies, diamonds, and emeralds. This is what the bricks of gold and silver are joined with. Have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen the trees of paradise? The trunks are not out of wood. The trunks are out of gold and different materials. وَقُتُوتُوا عَدَانِيَا. And the fruit of these trees is bowing, and there are pomegranates, and there are guavas, and then there are grapes, and then there are apples, and then there are pears, and then there is the beautiful Pakistani mango which you and I crave and desire. Have you ever seen the palaces of paradise? Palaces made out of rubies, palaces made out of pearls, palaces made out of diamonds, and then the wahoor al-meen ka'amsalis lukluil masnoon. And have you ever seen the hurriin of paradise? إِنَّا نَشَأْنَهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً فَجَعَلْنَهُنَّ أَذْكَارًا أُرُبًا أَزْرَابًا. It is a different creation. No eye has ever seen the beautiful creations before that human mind cannot even conceive of. This creation, have they ever seen this? Have they ever seen these rivers? فيها نهار من ماء غير آسف ونهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه ونهار من خمر لذة من الشاربين. There are rivers of water which is not polluted like the rivers of England. There are rivers of milk, pure, beautiful, white milk which does not go off. Have they seen the rivers of wine which is delicious for the drinkers and they can drink as much as they please and they will never get a headache? And that, like يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون, and they will not get drunk. Have they seen the rivers of honey? Have they seen these blessings? The angels of right to Allah, they've never seen your father, right? They've never seen your blessings. Allah asks, what if these people were to see these blessings, then what would become of them? And the angels of right to Allah, if they were to ever see these blessings, كانوا أشد لك عبادة وأكثر لك تمجيدا وأكثر لك. Oh Allah, they would praise you even more. Oh Allah, they would worship you even more. Oh Allah, they would spend their entire lives begging you for this paradise and they would refrain from disobeying you or going against any one of your commands and your wishes. Allah asked the final question. What are they asking protection from? And the angels reply in one voice. To Allah, they are asking protection from Jahannam. And Allah again asked the same question. Have these people ever seen Jahannam? Have they ever seen the fire of hell, which is hotter than any fire of this world? Have they ever seen the snakes and the scorpions of Jahannam? Have they ever seen the different tortures and punishments of Jahannam? And the angel replied, one voice, to Allah, we have not seen this. Allah asked, what would become of these people if they were to see Jahannam? Even if it was just for 1/1,000,000th of a second, just one glimpse, what would become of these people? And the angels replied, oh Allah, if they were to ever see your Jahannam, one glimpse, oh Allah, they would become so terrified. So terrified, oh Allah, in their entire life, not once would they ever disobey you. Oh Allah, not once would they go against any teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not once would they go against any teaching of the Quran. Oh Allah, this is what they would become of them, and they would spend their entire life asking you to protect them from Jahannam and the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to these angels, say, oh my angels, إِنِّي أُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنْ تَبْغَضَرُ لَهُ. I want you to bear witness today that all those guys that were participating in that blessed gathering on September in the Jami Masjid of Salah, I want you to bear witness that I've forgiven every single one of them. The learned, the non-learned, the old, the young, and even the toddlers that didn't even understand one word. Every one of them I have forgiven. And the angels asked, to Allah, you know what? There was a guy sitting in that gathering. Ja'ala, he came with a different intention. He didn't come to listen to the words of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came for some other reason. Maybe at 6 o'clock he had an argument with his wife. And she kicked him out of the house. Now this bizarre, I've got nowhere to go. And he saw people coming to the masjid. So he thought, let me come to this gathering, maybe there's some food afterwards. So inside the masjid for a few hours, till about Isha. By that time, till I've cooled down, I'll have a nice bite to eat, and then I'll go back home. So he came for a different reason. His intention was not the words of Allah and the Prophet of Allah. And he's not in that gathering for that reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُمَ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْقَ بِهِمْ جَلِسُمْ. Yeah, that gathering is so blessed. And those people that were participating in that gathering, they are so blessed and so special in my eyes that even that one person that did not come with the right intention, that did not come to listen to the words of Allah and the Rasulullah, as a result of those people and their blessedness, I have forgiven him, he is all blessed. How blessed do you think you are? And how blessed do you think this gathering is? And the reason I related this hadith is so that whenever you hear of gathering like this, in which the words of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are elevated, I want you to participate in this blessed gathering. I swear by the Almighty Allah, you will not regret this. You will not regret this. And Allah said, when you stand before Him, لَيْسَ بَيْنُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ, and when there is no barrier between you, the Lord of the earth and kursi, يُنَبَّرُ الْإِنسَانِ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ لِمَا صَدَّمَ وَأَخَرَ, and when you are informed of everything that you did, to the extent of every word that is uttered, you are informed and you have to give hisab, and you receive mountains and mountains of naked as a result of participating in this gathering. You know what? If you can find me on the plane of resurrection, hopefully I'll be in paradise. You know, you might even come to thank me for sharing this blessed information with you. And hopefully, inshallah, we'll be both in paradise. So you'll be looking for me in paradise, and hopefully, I'll be above, and you'll be coming, you'll be following right behind me. Or maybe you'll be above, and I'll be following you. As long as we're all in paradise, that's the main thing. Inshallah. You know, this was not even the talk. This is just the introduction. So you guys sit firm. You've got to do the easy thing. You've got to sit down. And just listen and pretend that you're listening. I've got to do the difficult work. I've got to make sense of what I'm saying. And I've got to deliver. And for you, it's so easy. Look at that. You don't have to do anything. And Allah is listening. The heavens are opening and Allah is giving, giving and giving. And when you act upon what I say, He will give you even more. I came here to speak today about Sayyidina Umar Farooq. Because he was young and we have youngsters here. And I want our youngsters to follow the Salaf al-Saliheen and take them as their role models. Many great people, great for one reason or another, have gone. You know, when we were in school, that's not been that long, believe me. They used to tell us that Aristotle was great. And indeed he was great. And they said that he was a thinker. They said Alexander was great. Julius Caesar was great. Napoleon was great. Why? Because they were great conquerors. These were our history lessons. They were administrators, great statesmen. Einstein was great. Why? Again, because he was an inventor. Peter and Frederick were great. Why? Because they evolved the order out of chaos and made their respective nations great. So the number was great. And then it will continue. What we find today is that the young Muslim of today who declares his belief in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that there is no God worthy of worship, and truly Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, who declares that he loves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loves his mother and father, more than his own flesh and blood. He believes this. He declares this. We find that that Muslim of today has acquainted himself and he's familiarized himself with personalities like this. Who these people were, and the modern day personalities, the Ronaldo, the Rivaldo, the Ronaldinho, the Dutto, the Madonna, the Beckham, and people like this, who they were, he knows. When they were born, he knows. Were they achieved? He knows. What they were famous for? He knows. What these people like to eat? He knows. The things that they dislike? He knows. Their sports and their hobbies? He knows of this. Yet, when it comes to great Islamic personalities, never mind great Islamic personalities, just take our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example. When it comes to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you were to ask that very youngster with regards to the blessed father of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please, can you tell me the name of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father? All of a sudden, he will become agitated. All of a sudden, he will begin to sweat. All of a sudden, he will begin to stutter, because he will not know the answer. And he will begin to scratch his head. And he will begin to look for excuses to offer. Tell me, my Muslim brother, you declare that you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than your own flesh and blood. Who was Amina? And again, he will be perplexed. He will begin to sweat, because he does not know who Amina was. When you ask him, can you tell me the day our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born? And again, he does not know. Can you tell me the children of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He will not know. Can you tell me about the migration of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He will not know. Can you tell me about the ascension of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He will not know. When it comes to basic personalities like our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this young Muslim who declares La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, he becomes dumbfounded. Basic personalities like Imam al-Bukhari, like Imam Muslim, like Imam Tirmidhi, like Nasai, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawud, Hafiz, Mustadrak, Dawud Suyuti, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Badruddin al-A'ini, Imam al-Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, Abu Hanifa. Basic personalities like this. This Muslim youth will not even have a leg to stand on. We even remain ignorant to basic personalities like Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala an. Yet his personality was such that the poet said, لَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِمُسْتَنْكِرُ أَنْ يَجْمَعَ الْآلَ فِي وَاحِدِ. The very man in whom Allah had made the whole world absorb him. The very man whose genius contributed more towards the formation and centralization of a nation than the combined effort of 1 million people. The very man who till this day is believed to be a miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Umar Nabawi founded an empire, Umar gave solidarity to that empire that was from the east to the west for 1400 years. He gave it such solidarity that this empire of Umar was unshaken for 1400 years. Umar's personality was such that when you study the life of Umar, you will find he was Alexander. At the same time, he was Aristotle. At the same time, he was Peter. At the same time, he was Frederick. Because when you study the life of Umar, you will see that Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a conqueror. And at the same time as being a conqueror, Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a statesman. At the same time as being a statesman, Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a reformer. At the same time as being a reformer, Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the head of the state. At the same time as being as the head of the state, Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a spiritual guide. And for this reason, I have chosen the Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a title, so that we as Muslims can acquaint ourselves and familiarize ourselves with people to whom we will be indebted to for our kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We are Muslims because of the life of our Salafus Salihin, because of the life of Umar. And we will be indebted to people like this right from the day of judgment. And I share with you, for those of our Muslim brothers that are ignorant with regard to the status of Umar, I say, such was the status of Umar that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِ نَبِيٌّ لَكَانَ عُمَرٌ. What do you think was the status of Umar? The other beloved Prophet Muhammad said, if there was a Prophet to come after me, though there can be no Prophet. Why? مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ أَنَا خَاتِمُ النَّبِيِّينَ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. I am the seal of prophethood. These were the words that were declared by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No prophet can come after me. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular hadith is explaining the status of Umar, that he is saying that if there was a prophet to come after me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have chosen and blessed Umar with prophethood. Such was the status of Umar that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya O Muslimanu, ma tala'at ash-shams ala rajulin khayrun min Umar." Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation, second to the Almighty Allah, is declaring the sun has never risen on a man better than Umar. He is saying, "Qad kana fi al-ummi muhaddathun fa in yakun fi ummati fi Umar." Ya O Muslimanu, that in the nations before you, in the people before you, there were special people, chosen people, people who Allah would inspire with guidance. If there is such a man in the ummah of Muhammad that is inspired by the Almighty Allah with guidance, then this man is none other than Umar Farooq. My brothers, people in the days, early days of Islam, they would come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they would come and they would declare, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." Umar was that companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he would raise his hand and he would bless the Almighty Allah, and this was the dua that would flow from the lips of Muhammad. Ya Allahumma a'izza al-Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab or bi Abi Jahl ibn Hisham. Others would come themselves. But when it came to Umar, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would raise his hand and he would beg the Almighty Allah, "Ya Allah, I beg you, honor Islam, strengthen Islam with either Umar or with either Abu Jahl. Ya Allah, whoever is more dear to you, if it is Umar, then give him guidance. If it is Abu Jahl, then give him guidance." What do you think was the status of Umar that when others declared La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, there was nobody would express joy in the heavens. Yet when the likes of Umar embraces Islam, my brothers, Sayyidina Jibreel Amin, the trustworthy one, he comes from the heavens to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is what he has to declare and share with Muhammad. Ya Muhammad, istabshara ahlu samari bil Islam Umar. That today, when Umar declared La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, the angels in the heavens, they were expressing happiness and they were rejoicing that Umar today has become a believer. What do you think was the status of Umar that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Muslimano, ittaqu ghadab Umar." Be careful, stay away from Umar, do not make him angry, because when this man becomes angry, his anger is such that the Lord of the earth will see he becomes angry as a result of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. What do you think was the status of Umar? He is in Madinat al-Munawwara, he is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amr ibn al-As is in Egypt, in Cairo. He is the governor of Egypt. In those days, my brothers, the Egyptians would take a virgin and they would adorn a virgin and then they would sacrifice this virgin, and they believed that the river Nile would flow as a result of this. That year, when Sayyidina Amr al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the governor of Egypt and the Egyptians approached him so that they would sacrifice a virgin and adorn her, Sayyidina Amr al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu stopped them from doing this. He said, "This is not permissible in Islam. You cannot do this." My brothers, it so happened that year that the river Nile dried out and it stopped flowing. The Egyptians believed it was as a result of them leading the sacrifice of a virgin. They were on the verge of leaving Egypt. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu is puzzled and confused. He writes a letter to the Amir al-Mu'mineen in Madinat al-Munawwara and he explains, "This is the situation that the people are on the verge of leaving Egypt." Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu takes offense and he writes a letter to the river Nile. This was the first letter in history to be addressed to a river. And this is what the Amir al-Mu'mineen writes. He writes, "Min Abdullah Umar Amir al-Mu'mineen ila Amir ahli Misr فإن كنت تجري من قبلك فلا تجري وإن كان واحد سحار يجري فنسأل الله واحد سحار أن يجري." He writes, "من عبد الله," from the servant of Allah, Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar, commander of the faithful, إلى أمير أهل مصر, and he addressed this letter to the river Nile of the Egyptians. أما بعد, after praising the Almighty Allah and sending salutations of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar is saying this to the river Nile,
or even I, فَإِنْ كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مِنْ قَبْرِي. If you have the power to flow, if you flow with your own will, your own power, then Umar has nothing to say to you. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْوَاحِدُ الْسَحَارِ الْخِيرِ. But if you flow with the will of Allah, if you flow with the power of Allah, if you flow with permission from the Almighty Allah, if you flow with the command of Allah, then I ask that very Allah that makes you flow, I ask the Lord of Arsul Kursi to make you flow again. My brothers, this is what he writes in his letter, and he orders that his letter is taken from Medina to Manawa all the way to Egypt. This letter is taken, and he orders that this letter is placed inside the River Nile. It is taken to Egypt, and then this letter is placed inside the River Nile. As soon as this letter is placed inside the River Nile, my brothers, history has recorded and traditions explain that the River Nile began to flow and the level of the water began to rise. 1400 years have passed and this Nile has never dried out since that day. This was the status of Umar. This was the status that Arabia and Persia trembled at his name. The kings of Persia, when the name of Umar was mentioned in their presence, the king of Persia, the superpowers of the time, the Romans and the Persians, they would begin to tremble. The earth would move in the direction where Umar would walk, to the extent that, my brothers, even the shaitan, today that very shaitan leads people like you and me astray. But when it came to Umar, our beloved Prophet Muhammad swore by his life, he was the leader. Oh Umar, such is your maqam, such is your status, such is your personality, that you have terrified the shaitan. I swear by the one in whose hands my life is in. مَا لَقِيَكَ الشَّيْطَانُ صَالِكٍ فَجَّلْ إِلَّا كَرَكَ فَجَّلْ غَيْرَ فَجِّلْ. That the shaitan does not see you walking down some street or some alleyway or some road, but he begins to change. He is terrified. When he sees you, he changes direction and he begins to walk down a different alleyway. Such was the condition and status of Umar. He is that very Umar that on a Jumu'ah, he is delivering a sermon. He will lead the prayer. He was the Amir al-Mu'mineen and he is delivering a khutbah. All of a sudden, as he is addressing the believers in the khutbah, he stops and he pauses, and all of a sudden, he thinks for a short while, and after a short while, he shouts out the words, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, O Sariya, go to the mountains. The congregation, the people that are participating in this blessed gathering, they cannot understand what is Umar saying. Who is he referring to? Why all of a sudden is he talking about something else? Who is Sariya and why is Umar saying, go towards the mountains? After the khutbah, when the khutbah finishes, the people approach Umar. Oh Umar, today we heard a strange thing in the khutbah. You said, O Sariya, go to the mountain. Who is Sariya? What were you referring to? Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala explained, Yo Muslimano, as I was delivering the khutbah, all of a sudden, a thought crossed my mind. And the thought that crossed my mind was this, that the Muslims are in a distant land. They are fighting the non-believers, and the non-believers are defeating our Muslim brothers. So I said to my Muslim brothers, Yo Muslimano, go to towards the mountain. Sariya, take a Muslim to the mountain and launch an attack from the mountain. Allah will bless you with victory. My brother, when Umar was saying this, he was in Medina to Munawwara. Sariya was with the believers, hundreds of miles away in a distant land, fighting with the non-believers. After a month, the news comes to Umar, a messenger comes to Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, Oh Umar, we were in a distant land. We were fighting with the non-Muslims, and as we were fighting, we were being defeated, and as we were being defeated, we heard your voice, and you were saying to us, Kisariya, go to the mountains and learn to attack. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He is in Medina to Munawwara. Such was his status that hundreds of miles away, as the believers are fighting the non-believers and they are being defeated, they can hear the voice of Umar, and they go and ask upon the advice of Umar, and they launch an attack, and Allah bless them with victory. This is the Umar that in Medina to Munawwara, the people are suffering. There is a drought. There has been no rain. The youngsters are suffering. The elders are suffering. The animals are suffering. The residents of Medina, they approach the Amir al-Mu'mineen and say, Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, we are suffering. Let us go and offer two rakat and beg the Almighty Allah for His mercy and to send rain upon us. Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he leaves Medina to Munawwara and he leaves with the believers. He offers two rakat nafl and then he raises his hands and he begs for Allah's mercy. This was the dua of Umar. Allahumma inna nastaghfiruka wa nastaghfir. Oh Allah, I beg you, forgive all our sins.
We are all sinful. Forgive our major sins. Forgive our minor sins. Allahumma inna nastasfeh. O Allah, we have no rain. Our people are suffering. O Allah, show mercy upon the young. Show mercy upon the animals. O Allah, I beg you, send rain upon us. He does not move. Sit with his status as he begs for Allah's mercy. His prayer is answered. And there and then the heavens open and it rains. The remarkable thing is, this was the dua of Umar, and this is how it was accepted. The remarkable thing is, that after a few days, a Bedouin comes to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he says, "O Umar, while we were in our village on such a day, and our village is located in such a place, while we were in our village, all of a sudden, we saw a cloud, and from that cloud, we heard a voice. And that voice was saying to us, Atat al-Ghusu Aba Hasin, O Umar, the help of Allah is coming to you." This Bedouin heard a voice from the cloud saying that the help of Allah is coming to Umar. And this coincided with exactly the same time Umar had raised his hand and begged for Allah's mercy. People in a distant land are hearing voices from the cloud that the help of Allah is coming to Umar. He was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Such was the condition of Umar. That 20 of his opinions became religious institutions, continue to do so to this very day. Can you imagine? Umar would say something in the dunya, and Allah would reveal a verse of the Quran. In the early days of Islam, when fatwa was not compulsory on the believing women, the wives of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not observe the hijab. Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu remonstrated, and he objected. The opinion of Umar received the sanction of revelation, and the verse of the Quran was revealed. كَيَا أَيُّوَ النَّبِيِّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِمْ كَيَا أَيُّوَ النَّبِيِّ O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ Tell your wives, وَبَنَاتِكَ Tell your daughters, وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And tell the believing women to grow veils of their bodies. Umar is saying this in the dunya, and Allah is sending the verse from the heavens. My brothers, in the early days of Islam, Abdullah bin Ubay was the leader of the hypocrites. When he died, because our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, was the mercy of mankind. He desired to offer the janazah of this hypocrite, Abdullah bin Ubay. Umar ibn Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu objected. The opinion of Umar received the sanction of revelation, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordered that, "O Muhammad, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَى أَحَدٍ مِنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدٌ وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَى قَبْرِهِ." Never mind the janazah of Abdullah bin Ubay. Allah is saying, "O Muhammad, you will not offer the janazah of any one of these hypocrites." This was Umar. He would say one thing, and Allah would reveal the verse from the heavens. My brothers, Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, it would be a good thing that if we took the Maqam Ibrahim as a place of prayer." This was the request of Umar, and Allah orders Muhammad from the heavens, "Wattakhidhu min Maqam Ibrahim Musalla." O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now tell the believers that they should take the place of Ibrahim as a place of prayer, and they should pray there. This was the status of Umar, for those of us that are ignorant with regard to the status of Umar. Yet, in the days of Jahiliyyah, if you study the life of Umar, in the days of Jahiliyyah, he was the biggest enemy of Islam. The biggest enemy of Islam was Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala. And I want you to, and as I relate this story before you, I want you to bear this in your mind. And I want you to ponder over the change. In the days of Jahiliyyah, he was the biggest enemy of Islam. He was in the depth of kufr. So much so that the likes of armies he would mock. And they would laugh at him and they would say, "فَلَا يُسْلِمْ أَلَّذِي رَئِيْسْ حَتَّى يُسْلِمْ حِمَارُ الْخَطَّارِ." That everyone else can embrace Islam. Everyone else can embrace Islam. But Amir would say, "You know, this Umar, not him. He will never embrace Islam. His heart is like stone. There is no one that he hates more than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no religion on the face of the earth which he hates more than Islam." Umar will never embrace Islam. He would say that this man Umar, he will not embrace Islam till his father's donkey says, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah." See, just like it is impossible for a donkey to say, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah," they believe that it is impossible. Anyone else there's a chance that he will declare one day, La ilaha illallah. But this man, Umar, he will never declare La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. This is what the kuffar used to think about Umar. Yet what did they know? What did they know? إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْلِ مَنَ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْلِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Nobody has, as I told you, nobody has the power to do good and refrain from evil without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot guide anyone that you want, no matter how many years you convey the message. You convey the message for 100 years to someone day and night. You do not have the power to guide. Allah is the one that guides. And you can spend 1 minute with someone, because Allah has guided that one man. Within a second, within a minute, he will declare La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The heart in the hands of Allah. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the dua, Ya muqallib al-qulub sabit qulubana la fa'adih. Ya muqallib al-qulub sabit qulubana la dini. All the one that flips and turns the heart, I beg you, keep my heart firm on the deen. Keep my heart in your, in part, in obedience and in doing good. This is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that before the end of time, يُسْلِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُسْلِحُ مُؤْمِنًا. Thus before the end of time, a time will come when a person will wake up as a Muslim, but before the night comes to an end, he will be a kafir. In the night he will be a kafir, and before the morning he will be a believer. Allah splits the heart. This is why we see that those that are practicing with the Sunnah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then in the first stop, when Allah, and when they take it for granted, this blessing, and they don't do shukr, and then Allah turns the heart, how within a second, that very man who you saw 20, 30 years in the house of Allah, inside the masjid on the front step, all of a sudden, the sunnah disappears, all of a sudden the libas, the clothing's gone, all of a sudden he does not even know what the house of Allah is. All of a sudden he's in some pub or some club or roaming out on some streets. And how many times you have seen the very guy that you and I look down upon and who we talk evil about because he's inside some club. How many times you and I, we convey the message to him and he becomes deaf and blind to the commands of Allah. And he spent years and years of disobeying the Almighty Allah. When Allah splits the heart and calls him in, how within a billionth of a second, when Allah splits the heart, in spite of the fact that he spent 50, 60 years doing wrong, all of a sudden now, Allah has given him that understanding, Allah has given him that hidayah, that all of a sudden now, this is the one that is in the front step of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's fasting by the day and he's in prostration by the night. So when they looked down upon Umar, what did these people know at that time? That this Umar that they are now mocking and saying, that this person will never embrace Islam. What did they know at that time when they looked down upon this man? That this youngster now was going to become the Al-Faruq. He was going to convert us at the Haqq wal-Batil. And I relate this purposely because you that sit before me, that at this moment in time might not pray, at this moment in time may disobey the Almighty Allah, at this moment in time may not fulfill the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not be disheartened, because when Allah splits that heart and He gives you that understanding, what I'm saying is that you need to know that you have a chance. You have a chance. It is so possible. Just as Umar was the Faruq of that time. In these difficult days, one of you may become the Faruq of today. One of you may become the Faruq of today. What did they know that this Umar was now going to distinguish between Islam and Kufr? Haqq and Batil. What did they know at the time that the dua Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make and beg the Almighty Allah Allahumma izzal Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab or bi Abi Jahl ibn Hikam was greatly answered in the favor of Abu Umar and not Abu Jahl. What did they know at the time? That the dream of Muhammad and the dream of a prophet is revelation. That the dream of Muhammad was going to become a reality which the whole world would witness. Nabi Kareem saw a dream. People are being presented to our beloved Prophet Muhammad. And these people are wearing shirts. Some of them have shirts up to their chest. Some of them slightly below this. Some of them even below this. Umar is presented to our beloved Prophet Muhammad and he's wearing a shirt which is drawing. And the Sahaba could not understand this. Umar are all those people. And they ask for the interpretation. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gives a strange interpretation that this dream means Islam will spread to the east and west. Islam will become strong and spread to the different corners of the globe. This was the interpretation that Muhammad gave to this dream at a time when people used to mock Umar and did not even believe that this person would say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and Muhammad is saying that Islam will spread to the east and Islam will spread to the west. Come the 6 years after Nabuwa, and the Fuqwa are sitting in a gathering like this, and they are discussing who will kill this man Muhammad, who will assassinate him, who will put an end to this book, Quran, who will put an end to this new madhab, Islam. And Umar is present in that gathering, and with a sword in his hand, he volunteers, Yo kafiru, do not worry, Umar will take care of this man Muhammad. He will kill him, he will put an end to Islam, and he will put an end to the Quran. After this day, there will be no Muhammad, there will be no Quran, there will be no Islam. And Umar was known for his courage and his bravery, even in the days of ignorance. And with his sword, he makes his way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the way, he is met by Nu'aym ibn Abdullah, a companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had already embraced Islam. He was keeping his faith a secret. And when he saw Umar angry with a sword in his hand, he asked, Aina turid ya Umar? Umar, where are you going today? Umar replied, Uridu Muhammad al-Harun Sali. Today, I'm going to put an end to Muhammad. I'm going to put an end to the Quran of Islam. He turns around and says to him, Nu'aym says, أَفَلَا تَرْجِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ فَتُقِيمُ أَمْرَهُمْ. You're going to kill Muhammad. Go home and take care of your own family. Your sister, she now says La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Your brother-in-law has left the deen of his forefathers. He has also become a believer. He has also become an admirer and lover of Muhammad. And he declares La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Umar cannot believe what he is hearing. How dare his own flesh and blood leave the deen of their forefathers and believe in this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He changes direction and now he turns to his sister's house. And he gets there, the door is bolted. Sister and brother-in-law are sitting before the Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala an, and they are receiving lessons of the Quran. Khabbab is teaching them the Quran, and when he hears the voice of Umar, as the Khabbab puts away the Quran and he hides in some inner room, Umar knocks on the door is bolted, it is open for Umar, and as soon as the door is open, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu begins to beat his brother-in-law. He beats him so savagely that from head to toe his brother-in-law is covered in blood. He punches, he kicks. His sister cannot tolerate this. Umar is beating her husband, the very man that she loves, and she begins to push her brother, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar begins to beat his sister, and he beats her so much from head to toe she is covered in blood. But you know, at the end of the day, the ghairat that Umar had, the same ghairat his sister had. If Umar had ghairat for Umar, then his sister had ghairat for Iman. And he turned round to Umar. And the same blood that flew in the veins of Umar, the same blood was in the veins of his sister. And she turned round and said, Umar, do as you please. My life is for Allah. My life is for Rasulullah. I declare, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that there is no God worthy of worship, and Muhammad did the Messenger of Allah, "Oh Lord, you can do nothing to me, you can do nothing to my husband, you do as you please, you beat me as much as you like, you take your sword and you cook me to bits, I will die saying La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, because now no blood flows in my veins, it is Iman and it is Kalima and it is the look of Muhammad and it is the look of the Quran that is inside my heart, it is inside my bones and it is inside my veins." Umar cannot believe what he is hearing. How all of a sudden this change in his sister, the very woman that a few days before would bow down before idols and would look these idols, the very brother-in-law that would make these idols with his own hands. All of a sudden, where has this change come from that they are now willing to give their lives for Muhammad? They are now willing to lay their lives for the Quran. He cannot believe it. He is wonderstruck. And when he sees the blood gushing from the face of his sister, at the end of the day, this was his own blood. This was his own sister. He feels ashamed. His eyes fall upon the pages of the Quran. He asks, "Let me see this Quran." This was the ghairat of the sister of Umar. He says, "Umar, you are najis, you are clean, you are impure. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. This is our book. This is the book of Allah. And we believe only those that are pure can touch this pure book. You will go and you will watch yourself. And only then will we allow you to look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala goes, and the historical narration suggests, not only does he purify himself, he takes a bath, and now the Quran is recited before him, and the reciter recites, "طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على الأرض استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى." Every word that is being recited before Umar is having an impact on the heart of stone. Remember, today my brothers, this is that very book that you and I, because of all this global pressure, want to distance our south away from this book. People say this is an old book. It is 1400 years old and it needs to have a change. And today, this very Muslim that declares La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, because of this pressure, he wants to distance himself from this Quran. He wants to distance himself from the Prophet of Islam. He wants to distance himself from the teachings of Islam. My brothers, this is that very book. It was a miracle yesterday. It is a miracle today. And it will remain a miracle right till the day of judgment. This is that very book. See, when it was revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of a sudden, he became Sayyidul Wudi'ala Yawm al-Qiyamah wala Faqra, Sayyidul Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, leader of the former, leader of the latter, leader of those that will be on the plane of resurrection on the day of judgment. This is that very book that when he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was returning from Taif, he decided to stop at a place called Batr al-Nakhla and he waits up for tahajjud. He engages himself in tahajjud and he begins to recite the Quran in such a beautiful voice that a group of jinn listening, they just hear the recitation of Muhammad and it has such a magical effect on them that they say, "Inna sami'na Quran al-ajaba yahdi ila rushd." And in that very gathering, they declare, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah." This was that very book that when it was revealed in the month of Ramadan, before this, Ramadan was just an ordinary month. And when the Quran was associated with the month of Ramadan, all of a sudden, this became Shahru Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. It became the most blessed of months. This Quran was revealed on the 27th night. Before the Quran was revealed, the 27th night of Ramadan was an ordinary night. But when it came in connection with the Quran, and because of its relationship with the Quran, all of a sudden it became Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. From ordinary night, it became the night of power, the most powerful night. So powerful, ka laylatul qadr khayrun min alf shahr. It is better than 1,000 months. And today, you and I want to distance ourselves from the Quran. We received honor. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنحون عن المنكر. We received honor because of the Quran. And today we want to distance ourselves from the Quran. Do you think this book was going to be Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu without having an impact on Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu? The recital is like, طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. Every word is having such an impact, such an impact that this heart of stone is now beginning to crack. It cracks, it cracks, and it is giving way. This heart of ice begins to melt. And when the reciter of the Quran recites the verses, إني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني, I am the Almighty Allah, there is no God worthy of worship, so worship me, O Umar, وأقم الصلاة لذكري, and perform salah for my remembrance. When the reciter gets to these verses of the Quran, his heart cracks and melts, and he says, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can tolerate no more. He is taken to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba are there with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The likes of Hamza is there, and when they see Umar coming with a sword, the Sahaba fear for the safety of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hamza is there and says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar is coming and he has with him a sword. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he has come with good, then let him be. For I swear by the Almighty Allah, if Umar has come with an evil intention, I will take the sword of Umar and I will behead him before you, O Muhammad, and I will place his head before you. Sayyidina Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hamza, let him be, let him come, let us see why Umar has come. He comes and stands before Muhammad, and when I was delivered, Father Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Yo Umar, tell me why you have come. Umar responds with the word, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That I testify there is no God worthy of worship, and O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I bear witness that you are the true prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at where he was. Where he was. Yesterday, they were mocking and looking down upon him. And today, he becomes Al-Faruq. He becomes the one that distinguishes between right and wrong. Namaz is not a problem. I'm going to conclude on these words. I can continue for hours on end. But the aim and objective of a lecture is not you listening to me for hours on end and saying it is a beautiful lecture. For this, I will get no salah and you will get no reward. The aim and objective of a lecture is that we take a lesson from this. And there are many lessons that you and I can take from this lecture. One is on hope. For those of my youngsters, young friends, that are not on the Sirati Mustaqim, that do not practice as much, that do not observe the fara'id and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that are, to some extent, in darkness. From this we learn, there is always hope. There is always hope, and there will always be hope. Right till you're on your deathbed. Before the angel comes to take out your soul, the beautiful thing about our deen and about the Almighty Allah is, right up to your deathbed, if you wanted to turn, make tawbah, and make amends with the Almighty Allah, so beautiful our deen is, that in spite of the fact that you may have lived 69 years of your life, if you lived for 69 years, you may have lived 68 years, 363 days in sin. And you know what? A day before you died, you decided that, you know what? Enough is enough. I will ask the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi to forgive me, and I will make it up with the Almighty Allah. You know what? So beautiful is our Allah, that in spite of the fact that in your entire life you lived in sin, and a day before you died, but an hour before you died, you cried and you begged for forgiveness. So beautiful is my Lord, that even in that condition, within a zillionth of a second, He will purify you, and you will be as pure as the day your mother gave you birth. What? أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ ذَنْبِكَ مَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. If one who turns to Allah and begs for His forgiveness, is like one that has no sin whatsoever. So these are lessons that we can take back. One lesson, that there is hope out there. But my brothers, the fact is, nobody knows when he's going to die. إِنَّ أَجْرَ اللَّهِ لَا زِعَ لَا يُعَقَرْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Our going time is fixed. I sit before you here and now. But I do not know what can happen in the next second or the next minute. I may leave this gathering today, only to realize that my time has come to an end. You may leave this gathering today. You may walk out of that door, and it's not possible that one of us just drops, because our time has come to an end. Nobody knows when his time is going to come to an end. This is why we need to turn to the Almighty Allah now and not tomorrow, because you and I might not be here tomorrow to turn to the Almighty Allah. Now is the time to turn to the Almighty Allah and ask Him for forgiveness. Let us act upon this advice, and I conclude on this note. Allah give me the tawfiq to act upon what I said. Allah give you the tawfiq. Waqul dawa
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah,